going to be looking at several different passages of Scripture tonight. And just kind of briefly looking. Our brother mentioned about personalities in his testimony earlier. And it's so true, we all have our personalities. Sometimes that's good. We're thankful for that. We look around and there's some mature Christians who create somewhat of an awe in their spiritual lives. These kind of people that live and others say, I want to be like him or I want to be like her. Some people even say, if I ever get religion, I want that kind of religion. I want what they have. Do you know anybody like that? I've been blessed to know a lot of people like that. And thank God for them, because there's another group of people. There's that other group of people that kind of create somewhat of a stigma. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be like her. If that's what Christianity is, I don't want it. Now, granted, sometimes we probably judge this group a little too harshly. We don't know everything. We may think we know enough. But chances are that we judge that group too harshly sometimes. But oh, those people, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. I want to be that kind of a Christian. We use the word saint. We usually add a little three-letter word prior to that word saint. Because somehow, at least in a lot of our minds, especially if we've grown up in the church, we can't think of anybody being a saint unless they're old. That old saint. Somehow we struggle getting it into our head that young people can be saints. That it's not just somewhere along the line in the age categories or in the calendar that somebody transitions from a normal Christian over to a saint. It's not the way it happens. The reality is that we all have the same opportunity as this first group of people to be a part of that group. Every one of us has the same opportunity to become a part of that group. Really, the key to becoming a part of that group is intentional receiving and intentional application of God's grace. You say that's too simple, or that sounds too simple. It may be simple, it may sound too simple, but the reality of it is that you and I have the opportunity to receive of God's grace just like anybody else and apply that grace to become that old saint at a young age. One of those individuals that I believe was in that former group, that first group, someone that I would look up to and say in my mind, and probably even if I felt like I should, would say it out loud, which I will right now, that I would like to be, I think it'd be nice to be an Earl Newton. And I believe that this basic outline comes from Brother Newton. I've changed some things up, but for the most part, the specific points I believe, came from Brother Newton. Now, I don't know Brother Newton in the personal details of life, but I think that he's one of those kind of guys that a lot of people would say, I want to be like him. How is it then that we can live? How is it then that we can become like that or join that group of people? Brother Newton called it helps to holiness. Helps to holiness. Things that we can do, things that we can intentionally make a part of our lives so that we can be that kind of a person. First and foremost, number one, 1 John chapter 1, live in the light. Live in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 says it this way, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. First, what can we do? We can have a clear experience of justification. We must have, if we are going to become, we must have a clear experience of salvation, being justified by his grace, receiving that grace, applying it to our lives, allowing it to be applied to our lives, the beginning step, the beginning process of becoming that kind of a person. Number two is right on its heels. Not just a clear experience, but also a quick obedience to the known will of God. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about that. We could spend a lot more time debating that, trying to figure out what is the known will of God. We're going to get into some more as we get down through here, but we must be obedient, a quick obedience to do what we already know is right and not to do what we already know is wrong. And quite often there's some things in our mind that we know, but we twist them around and we color them up a little bit so that they become gray areas in our minds. We struggle with them to where, well, I'm just not sure, and I'm just not understanding, and I just don't know. But the problem may not be that we don't know, it's the problem that is going on within us that we don't want to do what we know to do. Maybe I'm a little bit hard in that, but I think that I'm pretty close to accurate according to experience that I've not only witnessed in other people's lives, but also experienced in my own life. Somebody said one time, a long time ago, and I think that I'm getting it fairly close to his words, that the problem that we have with confusion today is not that we don't understand, it's that we don't want to understand. A quick obedience to the known will of God. Now, I understand that when a person turns their back on God, that becomes darkness. Their life becomes full of darkness. And there's one passage that tells us how great is that darkness. Now, I'm not trying to cover up. I'm not trying to hide things or make it too simple or too complex, either one. But there's a thing that we have to understand that when a person gets tripped up in sin, that life in their life, the situations of their life, it could very well simply be real darkness. But the thing is, God is faithful. It doesn't matter what problem you bring to me. I don't have answers for all of your problems, but I do know that I can with assurance say that God is faithful no matter what the problem is. no matter what the circumstances. That's why I like the song that says, if I can't trace his hand, I can trust his heart. Because God is always faithful. And if we're going to be that kind of a person in the first group of people, then we are going to have it within our lives, a clear experience of justification and a quick obedience to the known will of God. Could I just give a little footnote or a little side note right here? Young parents with children, as you teach your children to be quick in obedience, you are making it easier for them to be quick in obeying God's voice in later years. And when you do not make your children obey quickly, you are making it more difficult for them to obey in later years. That's just a side note. That's free. It doesn't cost any extra. Number one was living in the light. Number two is careful living. Living in the light and careful living. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, all these things shall be added unto you. Luke records in the 13th chapter in verse number 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Could I be so bold tonight to suggest that there's a lot of people that get that verse switched around a little bit and they are seeking God so that they can have all of the other things added to them? No, that's not the point. That's not the principle of the verse. The principle of the verse is that our focus, that our attention be on seeking God and his righteousness, and God will take care of everything else around us. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, the points that Brother Newton has given that would give us a help to holy living would be under this category. I would say that it's faithful reading of the Word. Faithful reading of the Word. I don't know, did you hear me? Faithful reading of the Word. You know, God's Word isn't just given to us so the preacher has something to preach from. Thank God for the translators that took it out of the original languages and put it into our language. They put it into our language for the purpose of us individually having a common text so that we all could read it, so that we all could see it, so that we all could feed upon it. Faithful reading of God's Word. How will we ever understand the fullness of Scripture unless we put it before us individually, personally, faithfully, to learn what God's Word contains for us? You say, well, that's why I go to church. Well, I'm sorry to inform you, but there's a whole lot more in the Scripture than what the preacher has time to preach on Sundays. Some of you may be wondering about the series in the pastoral epistles. We're going to get back to it. We will. Lord willing, we will. I believe that it's coming. It's going to happen tonight, but it didn't. You know, we could take a book from here on and just work through the book. You realize as slow as it takes for me to get through it, how long it'll take for us to get through anything? It takes a long time to work through it that way. That's why it's necessary for us to have faithful reading of the Word on our own. not muddled up with all kinds of exterior voices, but to be focused in on what God's saying, what God's speaking to us. Because you can find a voice somewhere that'll tell you what you personally want to hear. It doesn't matter what the subject is. You can find somebody somewhere, a voice somewhere that'll tell you what you want to hear. You'd better find out what God says about it. And if you're listening to some other voice, don't just listen to that other voice. Listen to a voice that isn't so easy on you. Hear what somebody else is saying that isn't so easy on you. I better get on down the road here. We might get stuck in this briar patch a little too long. Vital prayer life. A vital prayer life is necessary. Someone asked the question recently, how do you pray? Something to the effect, how do you pray without having all these other things intrude? I think that was the key to what Jesus was saying, enter into thy closet and shut the door. And we could spend a lot of time on that tonight as well. Shut the door, getting alone with God, away from all of those distractions and those things that pull your attention away. And if you still have struggle doing that, then pray about all of those distractions. Take all of those individual distractions to the Lord in prayer. Maybe chances are it's going to do something for your prayer life anyway. Faithful reading of God's word, a vital prayer life, a consciousness about little things. It wasn't too many Sundays ago. It wasn't very long ago that I preached about the little foxes. Those little insignificant things that so easily we can override, we can justify, we can say that it's okay. And another one is a self-denial for Christ's sake. Spoke about that a little briefly this morning. All self-consume. The third point would be a pursuit and or a hunger that is evidenced in our daily life, our daily conduct. Careful living, living in the light, a pursuit and a hunger evidenced in our daily life, evidenced in our daily conduct. How does that happen? Well, Jesus very clearly tells us something that should be evidenced in our spiritual lives if we are one of those kinds of saints where somebody else is going to look at and say, I want to be like them. Jesus very clearly gives us evidence to it in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6 when he said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Now, let's not look at the promise that follows that. Let's just look at that section of the verse and realize that what Jesus is saying here is that kind of a person is evidencing in their lives their desire for his approval, his smile, and being what he wants them to be, so much so that other people can say and see that person hungers for righteousness. That person is thirsty for righteousness. No, you're not doing it so that other people can say that or see that, but that is the life that is being lived. So if we bring that into personal applications, then we would probably have to include something like this question. Does my conversation end in spiritual welfare, or does it cause division? Does it stir up strife? Does it plant seeds of bitterness? Now, that's really a serious question. That's really a hard question. Those of you that know me know that I enjoy talking about deer hunting or turkey hunting or food plots. Trail cameras. Does my conversation end in spiritual welfare? You see, it's the other side of that question that can give a more definitive answer to that. Am I stirring up some kind of strife? Am I causing some kind of division? Am I planting seeds of bitterness? There are some wholesome things that we can talk about that we may not necessarily point to and say, oh, yeah, we're giving some spiritual welfare here. But one thing is certain, we better not be planting seeds of bitterness. We better not be stirring up strife. We better not be causing some kind of divisions. Because if we're doing those things, then you can be assured that we will not be in the first group where somebody will say, oh, I want to be like them. Here's another question. If we are really hungering and thirsting after righteousness, like this is saying here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, where Jesus is speaking about it, here's a question. Does my reading include matters of holiness and the baptism of the Spirit? So what are you talking about? We can become so consumed in politics. Well, okay, let me get off of your hobby horse. Let me get onto my hobby horse. I can become so consumed in deer hunting. Now we're talking, aren't we? The preacher's getting on his thing now. Am I spending so much time in my extracurricular readings that I do not have time to place on reading God's Word or reading things that are beneficial to my life in holiness, in the baptism of the Spirit? There is so much. I remember when I was a kid and I got bored reading some of the books that I had available to me, and my dad said, there's my library, go pick a book. My name wasn't Steve Gibson. Far from it. My name was John Ziegler, and that meant terror. I wasn't about to go read one of those theology books. Tried to take Greek when I was in ninth grade and said, that's enough of that. Whew. We've got some Greek scholars here tonight. I better be careful. Does my reading include matters of holiness and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Number three, a thirst. A testimony that looks toward the fulfillment of the promise. A thirst that is so intense that I want to have that thirst for right, or that desire for righteousness is so intense that I'm looking for the promise. They shall be filled. And finally, a careful attendance upon the means of grace. Let me change the word careful to a word that is circulating more and more in our circles. And I think it's a good word for us. And I've already used it tonight. Intentional attendance. An intentional attendance upon the means of grace. Intentionally. Now, you and I might get to the second group without any intentions, you know, just slide along, just coast along. No big deal. But we will not get to the first group of people without intentionally doing it. Now, it's not something that you're going to wake up in the morning and say, oh, okay, I'm going to live this way so that when I'm 90, I'm going to be that way. I'm going to be one of those people. No, it's not it. It's not that kind of intentionality. It's simply that I'm going to do what God wants. I'm going to live the way God wants. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. And I'm going to do it his way. Intentional attendance upon the means of grace. Now that already covers, or that has already been covered in some of these statements of reading the Word of God and praying. Hasn't been said about going to church and fellowshipping with God's people and all of the other things that we would use and talk about as the means of grace. We won't try to get into all of that, those points tonight. One can attend a good church all of their life and still slip up by not intentionally pursuing helps to holiness. Just because we're here in this service this evening, just because we call home church a good church and we believe it's a good church and we're proud of the church in the sense we're not ashamed of what is taking place and we're happy that God meets with us and we're happy with the presence of the Holy Spirit that comes. We're glad that God is here. We can attend that kind of a church all of our life, but we can still slip up by not intentionally, personally intentionally pursuing the helps to holiness. Or simply by failing to listen to the prodding and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Or by failing to hear divine truth. Or failing to intentionally learn God's word. And may that intentionality be something that continues on and on, not just a one-time thing. Circumstances in life can change, and the enemy can work in our circumstances and in our lives to create havoc and destroy even those of the best of upbringings. We have to be intentional. We have to be intentional about our spiritual walk. Living in the light, careful living, pursuit and a hunger evidenced in the daily life and conduct. I'm thankful for those that I can point to that I've known across the years that I would say I'd like to be like them someday. May God help me, help all of us to be that kind of person, even today. Let's stand together. Thank you for your attendance and attention tonight. Trust the Lord bless you. Have a good week. I'm sure there'll be a lot of miles traveled, different ones going home, some coming home. And trust that God gives each one protection, safety on the road. Praise God. Brother Bishop, would you dismiss us tonight in prayer?